It's November 12, 2012, in a bustling Singapore restaurant. And Vidit Agrawal is on edge. Hailing from a small Indian town, Vidit has played his cards right so far. He excelled academically, got into a top university, and snagged a coveted analyst role at UBS Investment Bank. But today, he was making a move so bold that his family back home was laughing at him.
You're leaving banking to become a taxi driver? Good luck.
Thankfully, he didn't have to wait long in his anxieties. Sam Gelman just entered the restaurant. Sam is the first Uber employee outside of North America. And like Vidit, he cut his teeth in finance, specifically at Goldman Sachs. Sam's the type of man that scares every single ride-hailing service and government across the world. Because Sam, well, he was the head of global expansion in Uber. Any country that he visits has the potential to be run over completely.
Sam!
Vidit stood up and shook his hand.
Thanks for making the time.
Sam smiled, a hint of weariness showing through.
Oh, of course, Vidit. Happy Deepavali. Thanks for reaching out.
Vidit was feeling cautious. He didn't know what to expect, but decided to try anyway.
I'm in awe of what Uber is doing. Travis Kalanick, he's a maverick. The way he's shaping and shaking up the traditional industry, it's not just about cars. He's changing the world.
Sam leaned in, intrigued.
You're a fan of Travis? Most people in traditional businesses see him as a threat.
Vidit shrugged.
You see threat? I see inspiration. He's pushing the boundaries of what's possible in business. It's electrifying.
The conversation paused as a waiter approached, took their orders, and walked away. Picking up from where they left, Sam commented,
Speaking of electrifying, we've been thinking about launching Uber in Asia. Singapore, to be precise. But we aren't too sure. Singapore? That's brilliant. I mean, no better gateway than Singapore to launch in this part of the world. Pro-business environment, a tech-savvy Asian populace, and an efficient infrastructure.
Sam sipped his drink thoughtfully.
True. But there's a challenge. We've been on the lookout for the right person to head the operations. We need someone who knows the Asian market, has the grit to navigate the challenges, and most importantly, believes in Uber's vision.
I'm sure you're recognizing this moment. Vidit had to take his shot. It's now or never.
Sam, you're looking at the guy who can do that for you. Singapore is not just a financial hub. It's a strategic launchpad. If you want to crack markets like India and China, you start here. I know these markets. I've lived and breathed them.
Sam regarded him, a slow smile forming on his lips.
You have fire in you, Vidit. It's exactly what we need.
Both men locked eyes, the weight of the decision hanging in the air between them. Finally, Sam nodded.
Let's bring Uber to Asia then.
Uber, the U.S. ride-sharing giant, is seeing a surge in demand for travel and food delivery.
From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 3 of a 4-part series, Running Till Empty. Vidit Agrawal kicked off 2013 as Uber's first employee in Asia. His mission? Build Uber from scratch, starting with a tiny single-table office on Muhammad Sultan Road. It didn't take long. Because of Uber's reputation, many tech-savvy rebels across Asia flocked to join him. Uniting them is their belief in Travis Kalanick's vision, that transportation should be as simple as running water. The analogy explains that no matter which country you go to, the mechanism and benefit of running water is the same. There are no special taps that are inoperable, nor water that requires many steps to obtain.
In hindsight, while this analogy seems true for established cities, it also reflected his lack of understanding of emerging markets, where obtaining clean water is indeed more complex than just turning on the tap. Nevertheless, Team Uber was fired up and ready to make waves. Throughout 2013, they launched in a new city almost every week, giving Grab a run for its money. Their strategy? A classic, move fast and break things approach that sometimes clashed with local authorities. The goal was to embed Uber so deeply in the local economy and lifestyle that it would become indispensable by the time any regulations rolled around, essentially becoming as vital as running water. While Uber was blitzing through the region, MyTaxi, the precursor to Grab, was preparing to radically transform itself.
Starting off with an idea in Harvard Business School, the pair of Huiling and Anthony founded MyTaxi with a goal of improving taxi safety in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The growth of MyTaxi was slow, arduous, and gritty, involving everything from giving away cooked meals to reselling cheap smartphones. But their persistence paid off. In Malaysia, MyTaxi drivers experienced up to a 67% increase in revenue and worked up to 20% fewer hours than those relying on traditional hailing. Meanwhile, user numbers steadily rose, with those booking over 9 times a month, jumping from a mere 1% to 14% within a year. All signs reveal a business that truly benefits their users. The only problem was the cash bleed. Similar to Uber, they needed an investor fast, or the business would not last the year.
Enter Vertex Ventures, who was desperate to find another success story like Didi, China's version of Uber. Astounded by the numbers on MyTaxi and drawn to the childlike faith that Anthony had in their mission, Vertex Ventures poured $2.15 million in funding. Their investment was a game changer. Not only did it exceed MyTaxi's previous year's revenue, it was, in fact, 10 times as large. More importantly, it also made the industry take notice. Vertex's endorsement triggered a ripple effect, attracting even more investors. By the end of 2013, MyTaxi had expanded its reach to Malaysia, the Philippines, Thailand, and Singapore, with Indonesia and Vietnam next on the list. The app reported 250,000 monthly users and over 1 million downloads. On average, users booked a ride at least once a week, equating to nearly one taxi ride every 2 seconds. Investors took notice, and in April 2014, Vertex led a Series A funding round with a $5 million investment. A month later, GGV Capital and 500 startups jumped in with $16 million. In particular, GGVC's contribution was especially crucial. They would come to advise Grab on a super app strategy, which offers a range of services to keep users engaged.
Fast forward to today, and Grab has fully embraced the super app strategy as the path to profitability, aligning with GGVC's advice from a decade ago. But back in 2014, fierce competition delayed the launch of Grab's first fintech product, GrabPay, by 2 years. By October 2014, MyTaxi rebranded to Grab. Vertex, sensing the company's potential, invested an additional $54 million. It was a jaw-dropping sum that raised eyebrows. But Vertex had their reasons. They knew a game-changing player was about to enter Southeast Asia that would shift the narrative around Grab once again. It's likely autumn 2014, and we're in Tokyo, Japan. By now, Anthony Tan is no stranger to meeting investors, especially after securing funding from Vertex. But today is different. Today, he's back to feeling like a rookie. He rushes from Haneda Airport straight to SoftBank's headquarters to meet none other than Masayoshi Son, the kingmaker of the tech world. This meeting is a big deal. SoftBank Vision Fund is colossal, boasting around $100 billion in capital, making it the largest technology-focused investment fund globally. One of their standout investments, Alibaba, a company we've talked about before. It is said that when Masayoshi Son backs you, you gain access to an almost limitless pool of cash. But you'll give up a chunk of your company in return. You can see why Anthony is nervous. This meeting could be a defining moment, testing everything he's learned so far.
Upon arriving at SoftBank's office, Anthony heads straight for the elevator, doing his best to keep his nerves in check. This elevator ride is the nexus that connects past and future titans of industry. It's a snapshot in time where numerous business empires started their meteoric rise. Think about it. Jack Ma of Alibaba took this ride. Stuart Butterfield of Slack was here too. Yiming Zhang, the brains behind ByteDance and TikTok, also made this journey. Each one transformed their nervous energy into something groundbreaking. Now, it's Anthony's turn. But will he do the same? Stepping out of the elevator, Anthony moved quickly to Masayoshi Son's office.
Capturing the grandeur of the office in words alone is difficult. If he were honest, Anthony stood there, a little awestruck. The panoramic glass windows offered a sweeping vista of Tokyo, a sprawling cityscape where tradition met cutting-edge innovation. And if he squinted just a bit, he could probably make out the frenetic energy of Shibuya Crossing, where people and culture intersected in a dance of lights and motion. Yet, within these walls, it felt like a sanctuary of sorts. Anthony's eyes shifted to the well-polished samurai suit stationed in the corner, a stoic sentinel. How many deals had this sentinel watched? How many had he seen fail? On the opposite side of the room, a set of golf clubs and a singular, perhaps deliberate, baseball bat stood out.
Anthony took his seat in front of Masayoshi Son, who looked up and locked eyes with him.
I love the business,
Masayoshi began, tapping his desk for emphasis.
14 years ago, Jack Ma sat in that seat.
Anthony felt a jolt. Being compared to Jack Ma was both flattering and daunting. Masayoshi leaned back, eyes narrowing.
If you take my money, good for me, good for you.
A charged silence filled the room. In those moments, Anthony might have even wondered internally,
what if I don't take the money?
That's where Masayoshi added,
if you don't take my money, not so good for you.
Years later, Anthony would recall this pivotal meeting, but surprisingly, what was most memorable wasn't the crisp deal-making in the room. Instead, it was how the deal was sealed. No contract was signed. Instead, only a shaking of hands and a look that held Anthony accountable. From now onwards, he had Anthony's back and more, pumping $250 million into Grab in December 2014. But perhaps the most important influence Masayoshi's son had was the introduction of Didi, the Uber of China, to Anthony. Years later, Didi would hand over pivotal strategy war notes and stories detailing how Didi themselves defeated Uber in China.
Man, hearing about Didi's partnership with Grab makes us wonder if we could find something similar. Wait a sec. You're right here with us, aren't you? How about you and I trade some notes? If you've got 1 minute to spare, we've got a quick survey in the description to help us get to know you better. Who knows? Together, we might build something truly special. Flush with new funding, Grab was rapidly expanding its footprint. By this point, the company had a presence in all its key markets: Malaysia, Singapore, the Philippines, Thailand, Indonesia, and Vietnam. By this time, they weren't just offering taxi services anymore. The lineup now included Grab Car, Grab Bike, and the newly launched Grab Express for deliveries. While Grab kept its financials under wraps, likely due to competitive pressures, we can get a glimpse from SoftBank's reports. From 2014 to 2015, Grab's bookings skyrocketed, increasing by over 700%. But this growth was a double-edged sword. The company was expanding fast, without the necessary structure and integration. By early 2015, it was clear that Grab was pushing its limits, and something, or someone, had to give.
Officially, reports would often suggest that Hui Ling Tan returned to Grab in April 2015 because the timing was right. Many interpret this to mean that Grab could finally afford her and benefit from her experience at McKinsey and Salesforce. But there's more to it. Her return happened just when Grab was at a pivotal moment, a time when her leadership was quite literally life or death for Anthony.
It's likely early 2015 in a Walgreens in California, one of the largest drugstore chains in the U.S. Fresh from a GGVC event, Anthony was riding high on Grab success. With SoftBank's recent investment, buzz around Grab had reached fever pitch on the West Coast. And now, incredibly, he found himself discussing potential investments right there in a drugstore.
I'm telling you, Anthony, Grab is going to be the next big thing in Asia.
Yeah,
You guys are setting the stage for something extraordinary.
Anthony grinned.
Thank you, guys. We have big plans. We're really just getting started.
Chloe, Anthony's girlfriend, looked on, marveling at the change in him. They've come a long way since the first time they met. Suddenly, Anthony felt a wave of lightheadedness wash over him. He shook his head as if to clear it.
Oh, must be the jet lag.
You okay?
Chloe asked quietly, sensing something amiss.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Seriously, this growth rate you guys are showing. Unbelievable.
By the next year, you guys are gonna take over the entire market.
What's the population of Southeast Asia
again? Twice that of the US?
That's huge.
Absolutely. We've got teams working on...
Anthony! Anthony! Oh my God, what's happening? Please, somebody help! Call a doctor!
Wait, sorry. What happened?
Anthony lost the enthusiasm in his voice, overshadowed by a feeling no one could quite place. Realizing he had collapsed, Anthony quickly got to his feet.
You can't go on like this.
No, I'm good. What were we discussing again?
Despite blacking out multiple times that day, he kept going, dismissing each episode. By day's end, his girlfriend Chloe was deeply concerned. She insisted that if it happened again, he needed to go to the ER. Eventually, he did. Despite multiple tests, doctors found nothing wrong. While Anthony was getting checked out, a realization hit Chloe. She needed to find a way to help him, to save him from exhaustion. And that's when it became clear to her.
Huiling, I need to tell you something. I'm worried about Anthony.
Her story, likely punctuated by moments of fear, doubt, and tears, captured Huiling's attention completely. For the past 2 years, she had consistently declined Anthony's pleas for her full-time return, primarily due to salary constraints and concerns about her family's financial well-being. Yet she had never fully disengaged from the company. In fact, she had taken 2 weeks off from her actual job to lead a comprehensive analysis across 5 countries for Grab. However, Chloe's revelation was a wake-up call, exposing the toll that the startup was taking on Anthony.
I can't just watch my friends self-destruct,
Huiling realized.
By April 2015, the decision was made. Huiling would return to Grab as its COO. Her aim wasn't just to right the company's course, but also to steer Anthony away from the brink. Almost immediately, she earned the nickname the company's plumber. Methodically, she dissected the workings of each product, identifying blockages and clearing them out.
The combination of Anthony and Huiling became what many termed as rocket fuel for the startup. Such dynamic duos often consist of an aspirer
and an integrator.
While the aspirer paints grand visions, mobilizing internal and external support,
the integrator ensures those dreams become operational realities.
Iconic pairs in business history exemplify this. Walt
and Roy Disney at Disney.
Henry Ford
and James Cousins at Ford. Ray Kroc and Fred Turner at McDonald's.
With Huiling back in the mix, Grab was poised to challenge Uber head-on. And by now, they had become a devastating reality. In just a year, Uber had matched Grab's presence in nearly every city before raising a further $1.2 billion solely for its Asian expansion. The euphoria over Huiling's return would be short-lived. Grab, along with every other ride-hailing service in Asia, now faced an almost insurmountable adversary. By the close of 2014, Uber's valuation had skyrocketed to an astonishing $41.2 billion, cementing its status as the world's most valuable startup. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 3 of a 4-part series, Running Till Empty. Next on Empires, get ready for a street-level showdown as Uber and Grab go head-to-head, vying for control, city by city. Follow us so you won't miss out on episode 4 of our 4-part series, Uber versus Grab, Street Hails and Street Fights. Empires is a 1UP Media original, produced and written by Guang Jin, edited by Alex, audio experience by Ethan Sam, additional engineering by Ashley from 1UP Media, and narrated by Luis Cruz and Claire Bernal. International research by Sonia, Kuyet, and Jiamin from 1UP Media. A quick word on our reenactments and dramatizations. While we can't know exactly what they say, think, or feel at the moment, it is all based on research. Thank you for listening.